All right. Talk Radio.
Talk Show. Recorded live.
Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
All right. Well, we are cross-streaming, and today we have a lovely lesson and quiz plan. We're studying our minor prophets. We're looking at the book of Zephaniah and the book of Haggai. And we'll be looking at the Christ of Zephaniah and the Christ of Haggai. Those are the minor prophets. They're minor prophets because the books are just shorter books. They're no less prophets than the other prophets, but the books happen to be a little short, much shorter than the major prophets. That's the big distinguishing factor between the major and minor prophets. So we're going to come together to just give God the praise and the glory. He brought us through another week, and we just ask God to bring us through this week, covered by the blood, covered in protection, covered in our health, covered in our spirit. Let us continue to grow in God, walk in God, and let's continue to pray for the demolishment of the targeted individual program and all evil works on this earth. So, God, we come before you, God, to give you praise and glory. We thank you, God, for being an awesome God, a sovereign God, a magnificent God, the God above all gods. We thank you, God, that what the devil meant for bad, that you will, you can, and you continue to use for good. We thank you, God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you, God, that even though the weapons may be formed against us, that you're teaching us, Lord, how to curtail, how to put those weapons under our feet, and how to make us God. We just thank you, God, for all you've done, all you're going to do. We thank you, God, for the week that we have coming before us. We ask you, God, to bless each and every listener, participant, downloader, people on any of the networks here, Talk Show, Blog Talk Radio, wherever they're at, may you bless them, God. May you cover them with the blood. May they be protected against harm, all evil. May no evil be able to prosper in their lives. Bless our targeted individual community, God. Bless them, God, to give them the endurance, God, to persevere, to hear your word, to know that you are sovereign despite what the situation may be. Let them use the situation, God, to make them a better person, to make them grow closer. And God, bring those back in that have become discouraged and atheists and have just decided to go another way. God, bring them back in so that the devil cannot have full reign over their lives. God, we just thank you and we praise you. I ask you, God, for special prayers over each and every person that started a new job, that you cover them, God, that you protect them, that income be used to advance the kingdom of God, that income be used to help people in their family, that income be used, God, to make them a better person, God. And I bind up the spirit of poverty against any person, induced poverty particularly. I bind up darkness, dark forces of envy and jealousy to want to see people impoverished or under people so that people can look supreme or better. I bind that spirit up in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, God, to cover our babies and our senior citizens, that you cover them and you guide them. I ask you, God, to lead and direct us, God, to the proper medical facilities that may be needed, that this program will not overrun what you've put on this earth. We know there are good dentists, good doctors out here, and we plead the blood of Jesus, God, that you will lead and direct us straight to one, and we bind up every demon forth. And for those doctors and dentists that are doing the works of the devil, we claim, decree, and we manifest that they will be arrested and taken out of the force. We bind up everything associated with eugenics. We bind up everything associated with genocide, depopulation, plot of Satan. We put it under our feet, and we ask you, God, to continue to use your people on this earth to work together, God, to expose these demon forces and to remove them, that they will be demolished, diminished. They will no longer exist, that God's work will be done on this earth, that the scripture teaching, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, we will live out to see where righteousness reigns across this earth. God, we ask you, God, for special angels to be sent over our governing structures, our executive branch, our judicial branch, and our legislative branch. And God, we thank you in advance for the removal from demons trying to control our governing structures. We thank you, God, for godly men and women to be put in positions to just seed out, to weed out, to be able to see demon forces and to reverse the curses that they've planted across this nation's governing structures, and to turn each and every plant that they, every seed they planted, and every seed of curse, may it be changed to a blessing in the name of Jesus. God, we give you praise and glory. There's no way the targeted individual program could exist without wickedness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And we bind that demon up. We bind up hospitals that are working against the will of God, killing people. We bind up police officers working to kill people. And we ask you, God, for a particular protection over your people, God, those who know you, God, those who cry out to you, God, that you hear their prayer, that you hear their cry. We ask you, God, to cover families that may be suffering, children suffering, mothers, things around. God, we ask you, God, to cover each and every one of us. And any type of sabotage, harassment, curse coming our way, may let it be turned into a blessing. In the name of Jesus, God. God, we're depending on you, and we know that you will see us through. We know that with God, all things are possible. We know that you're the God of miracles. So we ask you, God, to continue to bless your praying people, God. Cover them. And we thank you, God, for this Bible lesson on Zephaniah and Haggai. And let us leave here with information and knowledge we did not have previously. In Jesus' name, amen. A prayer for healing. And this eugenics program is very sickening. People get a new job and all of a sudden they constantly being made sick. That tells you this is not a regular program, a non-eugenic program. The eugenics is just evident. We bind up that demon spirit of making someone sick so that they can't get to work. In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus that good health, prosperity, income, goodwill, everything from God will be manifested in God's people. And we bind up every curse associated with genocide, eugenics, anything to take people out of the state that God created us in. So with that being said, a prayer for healing. At every moment of our existence, you are present to us, God. In gentle compassion, help us to be present to one another, so that our presence may be a strength that heals the wounds of time and gives hope that is for all persons through Jesus, our compassionate brother. Let's see. Healing isn't just something God does. It's who he is. A healing prayer. Heavenly Father, I call on you right now in a special way. It is through your power that I was created. Every breath I take, every morning I wake, and every moment of every hour I live under your power. Father, I ask you now to touch me with that same power. For if you created me from nothing, you can certainly recreate me. Fill me with the healing power of your spirit. Cast out anything that should not be in me. Mend what is broken. Root out unproductive cells, open any blocked arteries or veins, and rebuild any damaged areas. Remove all inflammation and cleanse any infection. Let the warmth of your healing love pass through my body to make new any unhealthy areas so that my body will function the way you created it to function. And Father, restore me to full health in mind and body so that I may serve you the rest of my life. I ask this through the intercession of the Most High God, your Son, Jesus Christ. And amen, amen, and amen. Okay. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will lay your healing hands upon all those who are sick. We plead to you, Heavenly Father, to have compassion on all those who are suffering so that they may be delivered from their circumstances. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, we're looking at our minor prophets. I'm going to start with an outline of Zephaniah. The book of Zephaniah in the Bible, chapter 1, talks about the judgment in the day of the Lord, the judgment on the whole earth, the judgment on the nation of Judah, judgment on the nation surrounding Judah, is chapter 2. Chapter 2 goes into a call to repentance. Zephaniah calls people to repent. Judgment on the nation surrounding Judah. Judgment against Moab and Ammon, judgment against Ethiopia, judgment against Assyria. In chapter 3, it talks about the judgment on Jerusalem. It talks about Jerusalem's injustice. It talks about the Lord's justice. The judgment on the whole earth. Salvation in the day of the Lord is in chapter 3, and then the promise of conversion and the promise of restoration all in chapter 3. The Christ of Zephaniah. Jesus alluded to Zephaniah's writings on two occasions, in Zephaniah 1, verse 3, and Matthew 13:41, and Zephaniah 1:15. Both of these passages, the Lord, are associated with Christ's second advent. Although the Messiah is not specifically mentioned in Zephaniah, it is clear that he is the one who will fulfill the great promises of Zephaniah 3:9-20. He will gather his people and reign in victory. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. If he did it for Zephaniah's days, he'll do it today. Again, the Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. Zephaniah 3:15. The keys to Zephaniah, the key words, the day of the Lord. That is the key word of Zephaniah, the day of the Lord. Zephaniah discusses the day of the Lord, and he describes the coming day of judgment upon Judah and the nations. God is holy and must vindicate his righteousness by calling all the nations of the world into account before him. The sovereign God will judge not only his own people, but also the whole world. No one escapes from his authority and dominion. The day of the Lord will have universal impact. To some degree, that day has already come for Judah and all the nations mentioned in Zephaniah 2, verses 4-15. But there is also a future aspect when all the earth will be judged. Zephaniah talks about this in Zephaniah 3, 9-20. He speaks of another side of the day of the Lord. It will be a day of blessing after the judgment is complete. A righteous remnant will survive. And all who call upon him, Jew or Gentile, will be blessed. God will gather and restore his people, and there will be worldwide rejoicing. So Zephaniah was basically talking about predictions in Revelation. Zephaniah is also written as a warning to Judah, as a call to repentance. Zephaniah 2:1-3, God wants to spare the people, but they ultimately reject him. His judgment will be great. God promises his people a future day of hope and joy. Wrath and mercy, severity and kindness cannot be separated in the character of God. The key verses, Zephaniah 1:14-15 and Zephaniah 2:3. The key chapter is Zephaniah 3. The last chapter, Zephaniah, records the two distinct parts of the day of the Lord, judgment and restoration following the conversion of the nation. Israel finally is fully restored. Under the righteous rule of God, Israel fully inherits the blessings contained in the biblical covenant. Survey of Zephaniah. On the whole, Zephaniah is a fierce and grim book of warning about the coming day of the Lord. Desolation, darkness, and ruin will strike Judah and the nations because of the wrath of God upon sin. Zephaniah looks beyond judgment, however, to a time of joy when God will cleanse the nations and restore the fortunes of his people, Israel. The book begins with God's declaration, I will utterly consume all things from the face of the land, but it ends with this promise, at the time I will bring you back and return your captives before your eyes. Zephaniah 3:20. Zephaniah moves three times from the general to the specific. He speaks first from universal judgment. Then he talks about judgment upon Judah. And then he talks about from judgment upon surrounding nations to judgment upon Jerusalem, from judgment and cleansing of all nations to restoration of Israel. The two broad divisions of the book are the judgment in the day of the Lord and the salvation in the day of the Lord. This book is filled with exceedingly somber, threatening denunciations, but there is a sun behind the clouds in the last chapter. Zephaniah foretells the coming of a glad day when the Hebrews shall become a praise among all the people of the earth. The judgment in the day of the Lord is discussed in Zephaniah 1, verses 1 to 3. The prophetic oracle, the prophetic message, begins with an awesome statement of God's coming judgment upon the entire earth because of the sins of men. Zephaniah 1, verse 2 to 3. Zephaniah then concentrates on the judgment of Judah, listing some of the offenses that will cause it to come. Judah is polluted with idolatry, idolatrous priests who promote the worship of Baal and nature. And her officials and princes are completely corrupt. Therefore, the day of the Lord is imminent. It will be characterized by terror, desolation, and distress. However, by his grace, Yahweh appeals to his people to repent and humble themselves to avert the coming disaster before it's too late. Zephaniah 2, verses 1 to 3. Zephaniah pronounces God's coming judgment upon the nations that surround Judah. He looks in all four directions, from the west, Philistia, Moab and Ammon from the east, Ethiopia from the south, and Assyria from the north. Then he focuses on Jerusalem, the center of God's dealing. Jerusalem is characterized by spiritual rebellion and moral treachery. She has not obeyed his voice. She has not received correction. She has not trusted in the Lord. She has not drawn near to God. Sounds like what we have going on here and on right now. then we have the salvation that which is discussed in chapter 3, salvation in the day of the Lord. After a broad statement of the judgment of all nations, Zephaniah changes the tone of the reminder of his book to blessings, for this too is an aspect of the day of the Lord. The nation will be cleansed and will be regathered, redeemed, and restored. They will rejoice in the Redeemer, in their Redeemer, and he will be in their midst. Zephaniah opens with idolatry, wrath and judgment, but closes with true worship, rejoicing and blessing. The man Zephaniah. Zephaniah was evidently a direct descendant of King Hezekiah. He ministered during the reign of Josiah, who was king of Judah. It is thought he uttered his prophecy near the beginning of Josiah's reign, before the religious revival which swept over the kingdom at that period. Tradition says that Zephaniah was associated with Huldah, the prophetess, and Jeremiah in the initiation of the reformation of the kingdom. Synopsis, the announcement in the beginning, he goes into the announcement of coming judgments upon Judah. Then he goes the call to repentance, Zephaniah 2. And then judgments are threatened upon surrounding nations, Zephaniah 2. A woe pronounced upon the sinners of Jerusalem because of their corruption and spiritual blindness and continuing in wickedness in spite of all the judgments meted out to the heathen nations. And then in chapter 3, a universal judgment foretold which only a godly remnant should escape. The future of glory of Israel when Jehovah shall deliver his people and cause them to become famous throughout the earth. And that's all predicted in Zephaniah 3, 14 to 20. How God's people will make it through the wrath. Okay, so that was Zephaniah. See, these books are really short. Then we have an outline of Haggai. in the first chapter of Haggai, they talk about the completion of the latter temple. The temple is not complete. The temple must be completed. And then he goes into chapter 2, the glory of the temple, of the latter temple. The latter temple is not as glorious as the first. The latter temple will be more glorious than the first. And then in chapter 2, it goes into the present blessings of obedience, the disobedience of the remnant, the solution, the obedience of the remnant. And then it goes into the future blessing through promises, the future destruction of the nation, and the future recognition of Zerubbabel. The Christ of Haggai, the promise of Haggai in Haggai 2:9 points ahead to the crucial role the second temple is to have in God's redemptive plan. Herod, the great letter, a fortune on the project of enlarging and enriching his temple, and it was filled with the glory of God incarnate every time Christ came to Jerusalem. The Messiah is also portrayed in the person of Zerubbabel. I will tell you, Zerubbabel, I will make you as a signet ring, for I have chosen you. Zerubbabel becomes the center of the Messianic line and is like a signet ring sealing both branches together. What are the keys to Haggai? Hold on, give me 1 second. I got to help my mom get up. Give me 1 second. Let me help you. I've been trying to get up for too long. 1 second. Keywords, the reconstruction of the temple. Haggai's basic theme is clear. The remnant must reorder its priorities and complete the temple before it can expect the blessing of God upon its efforts. Because of spiritual indifference, the people fail, to respond to God's attempts to get their attention. In their despondency, they do not realize that their hardships are divinely given symptoms of their spiritual disease. Haggai brings them to an understanding that circumstances become difficult when people place their own selfish interests before God. When the people put God first and seek to do his will, he will bring his people joy and prosperity. The key verses, Haggai 1, 7 through, verses 7 through 8, and Haggai 2, verses 7 through 9. Okay. All right. The key chapters, Haggai 2, verses 6 through 9, and Haggai 2. Verses 6 through 9 record some of the most startling prophecies in Scripture. I will shake heaven and earth and the sea and dry land, the tribulation, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and in this place I will give peace, the second coming of the Messiah. Survey of Haggai. Haggai is second only to Obadiah in brevity among all Old Testament books. All right. Haggai is second only to Obadiah in brevity among Old Testament books. And what was brevity again? I think in shortness. Right. He's the second one. Let me do brevity real quick. That was in shortness, I think. Brevity is concise and exact use of words, right? Shortness of time. Okay. So he's Obadiah was around for a short time, and so was Haggai. Haggai second to Obadiah in brevity among Old Testament books, but this strong and frank series of four sermons accomplishes its intended effect. The work on the temple has ceased and the people have become more concerned with the beautification of their own houses than with the building of the central sanctuary of God. Because of their misplaced priorities, their labor is no longer blessed. Their labor is no longer blessed by God. Only when the people put the Lord first by completing the task he has set before them will his hand of blessing once again be upon them. Haggai acts as God's man in God's hour, and his four messages are, 1, the completion of the latter temple, 2, the glory of the latter temple, the present blessings of obedience, and the future blessings of promise. The completion of the latter temple is discussed in Haggai 1:1-15. When the remnant returns from Babylon under Zerubbabel, they begin to rebuild the temple of the Lord. However, the work soon stops, and the people find excuses to ignore it as the years pass. They have no problem in building rich dwellings for themselves, panelled houses, while they claim that the time for building the temple has not come yet. Draws his blessings and they sink into an economic depression. However, they do not recognize what is happening because of their indifference to God and indulgence of self. So God communicates directly to the remnant through his prophet Haggai. Zerubbabel, the governor, Joshua, the high priest, and all the people respond, and 23 days later, they again begin to work on the temple. The glory of the latter temple is discussed in chapter 2. In a few short weeks, the enthusiasm of the people sours into discouragement. The elders remember the glory of Solomon's temple and bemoan the present temple. Haggai's prophetic word of encouragement reminds the people of God's covenant promises in the past, Haggai 2, verses 4-5, and his confident plans for the future, Haggai 2, 6-9. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. And then the third part, the present blessings of obedience, Haggai 2, verses 10-19, talk about the blessings of obedience. Haggai's message to the priests illustrate the concept of contamination, Haggai 2, 11, 13, and applies it to the nation, Haggai 2, 14, 19, the Lord requires holiness and obedience, and the contamination of sin blocks the blessing of God. Because the people have obeyed God in building the temple, they will be blessed from that day forward. And then Haggai goes into the future blessings of promise, Haggai 2, verses 20-23. On the same day that Haggai addresses the priests, he gives a second message to Zerubbabel. God will move in judgment and his power, and he will overthrow the nations of the earth, Haggai 2:21. At that time, Zerubbabel, a symbol of the Messiah to come, will be honored. The message. The remnant that had returned from captivity was actually preoccupied with their own affairs and was more concerned in beautifying their own dwellings than in rebuilding the Lord's house. The work had ceased for years, Haggai 1:4, a hard reproof. The reproof told of God's withholding his natural blessings because his temple was left in ruins with no seeming concern about it. Encouragement. When the rebuilding was resumed, there were words of encouragement, Haggai 1:12. There were promises. There were inspiring promises to the elderly who had seen Solomon's temple and were discouraged because of the inferiority of the building they were now building. They were told of the coming manifestation of divine power and the Messiah when the glory of the Lord will fill the house. There is a reminder of their unworthiness to erect a house for the Lord of hosts in Haggai 2:10. And then there were doom predictions. There were predictions of doom of the heathen nations and the words of commendation for Zerubbabel as God's chosen instrument, Haggai 2:20. Haggai and Cyrus. Men have loved to think of Cyrus, whom the Lord raised up to do his own work of humbling Babylon and of liberating his captives as a worshiper of God, of one God only. They have imagined that the chief motive that prompted him to attack the great city was his burning desire to destroy the idols. However, we have found out through science and excavations that Cyrus does not deserve the honor that succeeding generations have crowned him with. He was a devotee of the many gods of Babylon. His first care after making himself master of the town was to restore some of these gods to the shrines for which they had been removed. He was tolerant of other creeds also. Moreover, he was anxious to gain favor of the Jews, who formed a large part of the population of the city. Therefore, he dealt kindly with them. He published a decree which permitted them to go back to their native land and to rebuild the ruined temple of Jehovah. He also gave them many privileges they had not previously enjoyed. The prophet Haggai was in Babylon when Cyrus marched into it. No doubt he had more than once looked the conqueror in the face. He lived in the period of the exile, lived to see its ending and to witness the dawning of the time appointed by the Lord to favor Zion. He is the earliest of those three prophets whose work lay after the long captivity. Okay. Jesus alluded to Zephaniah on three occasions. Jesus alluded to Zephaniah. I'm going to say true. These are true or false? That is false. Okay, so I'm wrong. Jesus alluded to Zephaniah. I did not remember saying that, and I should have just said false. Okay. The Messiah is specifically mentioned in Zephaniah. The Messiah. If you want to join in, you're welcome to join in. The Messiah specifically mentioned, he was mentioned in Haggai, so I'm going to say false. Okay, that is false. The Messiah specifically mentioned in Zephaniah, I put false. Your answer is false, is correct. Okay. The day of the Lord will be a day of blessing after the judgment is complete. True. True is correct. Wrath and mercy, severity and kindness can be separated in the character of God. Let's see. What did you say, false? Yeah. Wrath and mercy, severity and kindness can be separated in the character of God. False?
I'm about to say false.
Huh?
I thought when you were reading that.
I can't hear you.
I said, I thought when you were reading that, you said it cannot be separated.
Let's see, wrath and mercy, severity and kindness can be separated in the character of God.
I thought you said can't be.
The false is correct. Oh, wow, that was quick. Return. All right, now there's a quiz. All right, that was just on that one. Now here's the quiz, okay. Haggai. Haggai is second only to Obadiah in brevity among Old Testament books. I remember that. That was true. That means Haggai is second to only Obadiah in brevity in short books among Old Testament books. So, yeah, Haggai only had, what, two chapters in his book? Obadiah 2. That is true. So Haggai is second only to Obadiah in brevity among Old Testament books. In brevity means in shortness, in conciseness, in, you know, the smallness of the book. And that is correct. Obadiah is shorter than Haggai. Those are the two shortest books, the Obadiah and Haggai. The prophetic oracle, oracle means message, the prophetic oracle begins with the judgment of Judah. True. Ooh, false. Wait a minute. Oh, it didn't say which one. The prophetic oracle begins with the judgment of Judah. The prophetic oracle begins with, I guess, the judgment of Israel. That is false. All right. When the remnant returns from Babylon under Zerubbabel, They failed to rebuild the temple of the Lord. When the remnant returned from Babylon under Zerubbabel, they failed to rebuild the temple of the Lord. What did they say? When the remnant returned from Babylon under Zerubbabel, they failed to rebuild the temple. I think they started to rebuild it, and then they got discouraged and started building their own houses. So I'm going to say false, and false it is, okay. The Messiah is portrayed in the person of Zerubbabel. I don't remember seeing that. The Messiah is portrayed in the person of Zerubbabel. Ooh, that was true. I put false. The Messiah is portrayed in the person of Zerubbabel. Maybe I have to read this. I'm going to read this over on Friday because I didn't see that. All right. On the whole, Zephaniah is a fierce and grim book of warning about the coming day of the Lord. I'd say true. True is correct. Okay. The enthusiasm of the people grows in Haggai's time as the elders remember the glory of Solomon's temple. The enthusiasm of the people grows in Haggai's time as the elders remember the glory of Solomon's temple. No, except they got discouraged. That is false. Key words of Haggai are the reconstruction of the temple. No, that was that Zephaniah? Wait a minute. I'm going to put true. I think Zephaniah was salvation. Okay, that is true. The key words of Haggai is the reconstruction of the temple. I don't like doing two chapters together. I'd rather one chapter at a time. The prophet Haggai was in Assyria when Cyrus marched into it. I think I read that. That's false. That is false. Okay. Haggai's four messages include, choose one answer. Haggai's four messages include, let's choose one answer. It's from the glory of the latter temple, the completion of the latter temple, the present blessings of obedience, the future glory of Israel, the future blessings of promise. I would say the present blessings of obedience, and I'm correct. Good. His four messages included the present blessings of obedience. Okay. Cyrus was anxious to gain favor of the Jews. True, we read that. True it is. All of the following moves, from general to specific in Zephaniah, except. All of the following moves, from general to specific. I put the air on. Oh, boy. Everyone. Yeah, I'm here. I had to put some air on. I don't know. It got really hot in here. All right. All of the following moves, from general to specific in Zephaniah, except from judgment upon surrounding nations to judgment upon Jerusalem. Moves from general to specific in Zephaniah. Well, that's general. Judgment upon surrounding nations to judgment upon Jerusalem. That's general to specific. So that's not it. A woe pronounced upon the sinners of Jerusalem, from judgment and cleansing of all nations to the restoration of Israel, from universal judgment to judgment upon Judah. So, universal judgment to judgment upon Judah, that's definitely general to specific. from judgment and cleansing of all nations, that's general, a woe pronounced upon the sinners of Jerusalem. I'd have to say B. B it is. Good. All of the following moves from general to specific in Zephaniah, except a woe pronounced upon the sinners of Jerusalem. Right, because that's a specific, a woe is something, it's singular, it's something specific. The rest of them were from general to specific. All right, the remnant that had returned from captivity was selfishly preoccupied with their own affairs. I have to say true. They did say, yeah, true it is, right, that the people were so occupied with themselves, they weren't trying to build the temple. They weren't trying to develop a relationship with God, very much like today. People get so caught up in, you know, they got that house, that new car, that this, you know, and they just forget God. And there's you know, and see, that's one thing, but in addition, then the devil takes over and they start worshiping idols and idolatry, similar to today. And God called judgment. All right, Haggai's message to the priest illustrates the concept of justification and it applies to the nation. Haggai's message to the priest illustrates the concept of justification and it applies to the nation. That is false. Haggai's message to the priest illustrates the concept of justification and plot. Well, we're definitely going to do this one over. Submit all and finish. Let's see. Okay. Well, that was it. There were only 13 questions. Let me go over them. Haggai is second only to Obadiah in brevity among Old Testament books. Yet that is true. Okay. The prophetic oracle begins with the judgment of Judah. That was false. Really didn't. It should have been more specific, but okay. When the remnant returns from Babylon under Zerubbabel, they failed to rebuild the temple of the Lord. That was false. The Messiah is portrayed in the person of Zerubbabel. That is true. On the whole, Zephaniah is a fierce and grim book of warning about the coming day of the Lord. That is true. The enthusiasm of the people grows in Haggai's time as the elders remember the glory of Solomon's temple. That's false. The key words of Haggai are the restoration of the temple, reconstruction of the temple. That is true. The key words of Haggai are the reconstruction of the temple. That's true. Okay. The prophet Haggai was in Assyria when Cyrus marched into it. That was false. Haggai's four messages include the glory of the latter temple, the completion of the latter temple, the present blessings of obedience, and the future blessings of promise. It said choose one answer. Okay, the present blessings of obedience. That was his main message. And Cyrus was anxious to gain favor of the Jews. That was true. And all of the following moves from general to specific.